My name is Alan Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas, and we're going to have another teaching today, and it's going to be dealing with the rapture, And, you know, a lot of people don't believe in it. A lot of people don't know anything about it, but I'm telling you, it's in the book, and if it's in the book, it's scriptural, and we're going to really enjoy it, and I think you're going to look forward to it also, just like I do. Let's turn into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. You've got 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." A mystery. The mystery has been, the mysteries in Paul's writings, he has quite a few mysteries. And they also can be called secrets. And these mysteries or secrets are only given to Paul. You won't find them in any place else in your Bible. This is what God has held back from the population of the world until Paul came about, until the body of Christ was involved. Jesus never talked about the secrets or mysteries. He did talk, he did deal with secrets and mysteries, but not the ones that were revealed to Paul. We're going to see one pretty soon. But let's turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29:29, to give you an idea what this secret is. Now, Deuteronomy is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is the first four books of the Old Testament. And we turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever." Forever. You see, the Bible is made up of secret things, because a lot of things weren't revealed until certain times, and the rapture is one of them. But anyway, I'm going to show you one of them that people don't understand. Let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Back to the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 18, and look what it says. This is when Jesus was talking to the 12, just before he went to the cross. Verses 31. Luke 18, verses 31. It says, "When he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up into Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and be spitefully treated, and spit upon. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." Look what 34 says. "And they understood none of these things, and these sayings were hidden from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." It's hard to comprehend that. But you see, he literally told them what's going to happen. But God kept it from their minds. They didn't understand it. Why? Well, Jesus came on this earth. The number one reason he came to this earth was the fact that he was going to die on that cross and pay the sin debt for mankind. That's why he had to take on a human body. You know, that's why he had to be born of a virgin, because he couldn't have been born a man. If he was born a man, he would have had a sin nature. He had to be born of God. He couldn't be born a man. And he was God-man. He was a perfect person, and he was going to pay, and he had to be perfect in order to pay the sin debt for mankind. He already knew that the Jews wouldn't accept him. He knew it before the earth was ever made. He knew that they were going to kill him. He knew that. But if the apostles understood what he said, they'd have done everything they could to keep him from going to that cross. And he had to go to the cross. That was a secret. That's what we're talking about, a mysteries and secret. Now let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. I should have told her to keep her fingers there, but sometimes I forget those kind of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verses 51. So behold, I show you a mystery or a secret. You understand that now. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortality shall be put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass, and saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to be to God who giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that we will be raised incorruptible. The dead, the people who have already died, shall be raised incorruptible. And they're going to get a whole new body. We're going to talk about that. Incorruptible. And we that if we happen to be lucky enough to be here when it happens, we will be changed in that twinkling of an eye. And we'll all go to be with the Lord. This is just beyond my imagination. And I look forward to it. Every day I think to myself, is the day today when Jesus is going to come in the rapture, take us home, change our old bodies, these bodies that we have now that are corrupted, that are we're sick, we can't wear glasses, we got to wear false teeth, we got to have hearing aids on, and whatever else. We're looking for something better, and we're going to have something better. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. This is the second place that we have in the scriptures. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Go to the right, 2 Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's start at 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13. And look what it says. But I would not have... No, yeah, 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. What's that? That's the gospel. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again. You see, that's what salvation is about. That's what Paul says salvation is about. The gospel. That Christ died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he's telling you this. And this is a prerequisite for the gospel. He laid right out here. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, even those that have died already, that are in the graves, also who sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. In other words, the person has already died, and their body's in the grave, but their soul and spirit is in heaven because they believe the gospel. He will bring those souls and spirit with him. And then that's when they will receive their new glorified body. And we're going to be talking about that pretty soon. It says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. You see, this isn't Paul speaking. This is God speaking. In fact, every word in this book, every word in Paul's writings, from Romans to Philemon, there should be in red letter edition, because every one of them are written by the Lord through the Holy Spirit, through Paul. Every one of them. But it says, this is the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, if we're alive when the rapture comes, when he comes down to get us, if we were alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede them who are asleep. The ones who died are gone first. But it's going to be a twinkling of eye. It's going to be, it's not going to be waiting very long. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So let's say that I die tomorrow, and the rapture comes the day after tomorrow. When he comes back, I will rise first. I will rise first, and I will get, my body will be changed the second it's pulled out of the grave to a new body like Jesus' glorified body. And it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then it says, we who are alive, if we happen to be lucky enough to be alive and remain, shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so ever shall we be with the Lord. I've had people say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do? What's happening? Well, one thing about it, we're going to be with the Lord. Right here it says it. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So we'll just be where the Lord's at. If the Lord's in heaven, we'll be there. You see, he's the head of the body of Christ. We're the body. He's the head. We'll never be separated from him. We'll always be with him. How wonderful. Think about that. I believe that we're going to be coming back down here after the tribulation. We'll come back with him and rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. You see, we'll be dealing with the Gentile population, and the Peter, James, and John, and the 12, they'll be dealing with the Jewish population, those that have been saved, that believe in Christ, and the same Christ that we have, same Christ. It's just fantastic. It's just beyond our imaginations. Let's turn to Philippians. Let me show you this. Go back to the left, just a few pages, and you go to Philippians chapter 3, and let's look at verses 20. Philippians 3, verses 20, and it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body. You see, the second that when he comes at the rapture, and we're going to be pulled, our old bodies are going to come out of that grave, he's going to change them like his, exactly like his resurrection body. Think about that. You just think about the time when Jesus rose from the dead. You know, he was different. He had a resurrection body. Oh, it had a liking to his old body, but it still was different. It was so much so that even Mary, who had been with him for years, he didn't recognize him. He thought he was a gardener. Remember that? But when he used his voice, when he said Mary, she realized who he was, you know. When he went to see the disciples in the upper room, he just was there. That's what we're going to be. I mean, he didn't go through the door or a window or whatever. He was just there. That's the attributes of this new glorified body. And we'll have the same. We won't need a car or a plane or anything to be anywhere. We'll just be there. And it's just beyond my imagination. And that's what we're going to look forward to. It's going to be like his glorious body. You know, when he met with the disciples, he talked to them, and then he was gone. Just gone. You know, it's just beyond our imagination. And when they first saw him, it scared him to death. You see, it looked like Jesus, but yet it wasn't Jesus. It was his glorious body. And then when he could show them the nail-scarred hands, and that's the only thing that they actually saw, that they could recognize, to be honest with you. But they knew it then. They knew it then, and they saw his nail-scarred feet and the horrible wound in his side, where they ran the spear up through him. Oh, what a wonderful thing to think about. So, we find that Jesus, you know, came down on this earth, and he walked with his disciples, and then he was crucified. And then he came, then he rose from the dead, and he was here, and then he left, and he went back to heaven with the Lord. And then what happened? Well, let's show you what happened. What happens? Let's turn to Romans. Let's turn to Romans. Back to the left, to Romans chapter 11, and it'll show you what took place. You see, the Jews totally turned their back on Jesus, and so much so that they crucified him. They didn't believe in him. They killed him. So what did Jesus do? Look at verses 25. Romans chapter 11, verses 25. It says, "For I would not you be ignorant of this mystery." Here's another mystery, see, that never was ever known before. "At least you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness, in part, has happened to Israel." Until Israel, till when? It says, it's a time word, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the last person believes the gospel that has been called for this new body of Christ, that we are the body of Christ. When the last person, God's going to take us home, and that's going to be the rapture. He's going to take us out of this earth. We're not going to be here. We're going to be gone, and people will be left behind. Will be the non-believers and the Jews, and then God's going to deal with them. In the tribulation, he's going to deal with them. But we won't be here. We'll be gone. The rapture is when the church will be taken out. Everybody that belongs to the body of Christ. How do you belong to the body of Christ? You believe the gospel. Paul preached nothing but the gospel, that Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. And that is salvation for us today. This is by which how you are saved, by believing the gospel. See, he's pointing to what he did on that cross. He's pointing to what he did, because what he did was pay for the sin debt of the world. He paid for our sin debt, for every believer. He paid for it. We don't have to worry about the wrath of God, because we have done exactly what he wanted us to do, to accept his Son as our Savior. And he is our Savior when you believe the gospel. I can tell people, yes, Jesus is my Savior. But he didn't become my Savior until I believed the gospel. You see. It's just wonderful. Wonderful. So now, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go to Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians. And let's look at chapter 5, and let's look at verses 9. Verses 9. It says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we shall live together with him." With him, you see. You see, we're not appointed unto wrath. There's a lot of people that say, "Well, we're going to go through at least part of the tribulation." No, we're not. We have nothing to do with the tribulation. You see, that's why God takes us out in the rapture. He takes this church out of here. The church had did exactly what God wanted us to do, is put our trust in his death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel. That we're doing exactly what he wanted us to do. And because we did that, we don't have the wrath of God upon us. He's taken us out. And he's going to deal with the non-believer. He's going to deal with the Jew. That's where the wrath of God's coming on. Because people who turn their back on the gospel, when they turn their back on believing what Jesus told them to do for their salvation, they're going to see the wrath of God. And those who do not know God, they're going to see the wrath of God. But we won't. We won't. It won't make any difference, because we're going to be with him, and we're going to be with him in heaven, and it's going to be beyond our imagination. We're not appointed unto wrath, but to attain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, by what he did. not who he is. It's by what he did. He died on that cross to pay for our sins that we might have eternal life. And all we have to do is believe it. He's done it all. Who died for us that we, whether we awake or asleep, whether we're either awake when the tribulation, that means alive, or we're dead, it don't make any difference. He's taking us home, that we should live with him. So we're going to be with Christ. That's like I said before. We'll always be with the Lord. Let's look, or right here, let's just look at this. Let's look at how wonderful this is. Let's look over here at first. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look over here at verses 23. Look at verses 23. This is just beyond our imaginations, and the world don't understand this. You see, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless till when? Until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." When is that? That's the rapture. That's the rapture. And look what he says. "I pray that your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord." When you believe the gospel, you have the Holy Spirit will come into you. Ephesians 1:13, it says that when you believe the gospel for your salvation or of your salvation, you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit, sealed with it. It's God living in you, and he is going to preserve you to win the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at this last 24, verses 24. "Faithful is he that calleth you." See, God is the one who called you. See, we'll never come to the Lord unless God opens our heart, unless he calls us. He's the one that called you. And then also he says, he will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless until the day, till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's either when you die or when Christ comes back in the rapture. Think about how wonderful that is. You see, we do nothing. We do nothing for our salvation. That's what's so fantastic about the gospel. He does it all. All he asks us to do is believe it. And when you truly believe the gospel for your salvation, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you have God living in you the rest of your life. God living in you, and he'll point you closer and closer to him each and every day. You'll have a whole new, different outlook on life. All your old priorities will change. Your priorities will change totally because God's living in you, and he's going to preserve you until Jesus comes, and he's going to do it. And just, if you ever heard of once saved, every always saved, if this isn't it, then I'll eat my hat. This is fantastic. I mean, it's just praise the Lord. He will do it. He will do it. Think about that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Go to your right. Go to the right. And let's look at this. This is neat. Now, this is at the end of Paul's life. Paul has spent his whole life, and all he has done was preach the gospel. He never preached anything else. He preached Christ crucified. He pointed to the cross on everything that he talked about. It's just beyond your imagination. If he didn't use the gospel, the word gospel, he said the power of God. What is the power of God? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He said the word of truth. What is the word of truth in Ephesians? It's the gospel. He used all kinds of things, but he always pointed to the cross. That's where our salvation is, and what he did on that cross. And that's the gospel. And we believe the gospel for our salvation. So now he's at the end of his life. He's in a Roman prison. Nero is ready to cut his head off, and he knows it. It's over with as far as his life on this earth. And look what he says in verses 6. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of a departure is at hand." His time of departure is at hand. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, now listen to this carefully. Listen to this carefully. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And now let's get to this. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Think about that. Are you looking forward to the appearing of Christ? That you love the idea that he is going to come and take you home in the rapture, and he'll be with him for eternity? Is this love in your heart that you truly can't wait for God to come? And if it does, you also are going to receive the crown of righteousness. Think about that. And all he asks us to do is believe what he did. What he did on that cross. And that's salvation for the church. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Believe what? The gospel. Plus nothing. He didn't say believe and join a church, or believe and be baptized, or believe and speak in tongues, or believe and give in a tithe. He said just believe the gospel. That Christ died for your sin, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for this time to teach this teaching. And I pray that people will understand the rapture and that they will come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus through the gospel, that they might also be partakers of this rapture in the future. And I just pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.